We're live. That's the wrong intro. I didn't mean to hit that one.
But I'm none of those people.
Yep, none of those people. This is a new thing we're doing. We're trying out. Welcome to Chopping It Up with Coach Krispy Kreme. And what this is it's going to be getting a coach's perspective on what's going on in the CrossFit space. And the reason this we wanted to start this is, one, I've gotten to know Tristan pretty well over the last year. One of my best friends in the world is Jamie Latimer. Tristan is her coach. And I even got to know you a little bit even before that happened.
Yeah.
With Kelly Baker and following her through last season. That's probably what made you most famous as a coach, is taking Kelly Baker to the games for the first time as an individual athlete.
Yeah.
And then the chaos that ensued at the games.
Yeah. It was a good follow-up to the chaos that ensued at semifinals in the last event.
Exactly.
So, it was on brand.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do is kind of periodically check in with you, get a coach's perspective on what's going on in space, and we'll create new backgrounds and bumpers and all that for that. But It's been a crazy day. So we were going to start with, You were in the chat with Jamie and I a couple weeks ago and said quarterfinal programming is the most important programming that CrossFit will ever do. We're scrapping that for now. We're going to touch on it a little bit later in this show. Yeah. But since we talked, there's been some scoring adjustments going on the leaderboard from quarterfinals, and we're going to talk about it. So At last count, there have been well over 300 scoring adjustments to the leaderboard from last night at about 7-ish.
Yeah,
today.
My phone started exploding around 6 o'clock my time.
So yeah, that's 7 my time. So right around there. Yeah. So as a coach, you get your athletes through quarterfinals weekend, scores are submitted. Then where is your head at from that point till today?
You know, people at the affiliate who watched us go through quarterfinals, they, kind of said, hey, your stress is gone, this, that, and the other. And I'm not stress-free until everybody gets validated videos. I don't think there's anything as a coach I'm more like terrified of in the middle of the night than a major penalty from HQ on one of their videos. That whole process is just so stressful. I mean, the floor plans were looser this year, so there wasn't as much of that, but just, I never want that to happen to any of my athletes. I never want them to have done the workouts multiple times, perhaps put in their effort. You know, we think we did it. We think we did what we set out to do. And then the hammer comes down and your season's over. So I had already went through this a little bit with some teams. Madison and Taylor on a team, they did not get a penalty, but two of the teams that one of our coaches, Carrie, Tobias, and her gym, their Ascend teams, they both got penalized. So I had already kind of been through the ringer with that with them. So I knew that I had a feeling after what I saw happen with the teams that we were going to see some hefty penalties on the individual side. Obviously nothing. I did not expect anything like what we have seen, but for me, the stress doesn't really actually go away until they get that email inviting them to go to semifinals and pay their money.
And the way it works that I've heard is that the athlete gets an email as they approve each workout. So like they'll get an email saying, your workout one has been validated and is good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get an email, and then about the same time they get that email, it updates on their app, on the CrossFit Games app. So it all kind of happens in conjunction.
So let's start with stress I know you've gone through this week, and that is when an athlete types in a score that is not accurate. So that is the first phase of what happened. And It wasn't just that athlete that did it. It actually turned out to be a pretty common mistake around the world. where people did not add in the first 30 reps of workout four. They only did the max reps they did on the last barbell.
Yeah.
So a lot of people cut themselves short 30 reps. You reached out to me like, hey, do you know anybody at HQ we can talk to? This was messed up. We can't get the score updated. When did you know that those scores that CrossFit went in and globally added those 30 reps in for those athletes?
So I saw that Grace Walton's got changed. I had caught a snippet of Savon's show after it was that evening or the early the next morning, saw that she had put hers in wrong, was obviously just refreshing the leaderboard over and over. And I saw that hers got changed to her correct score. So that made me feel at least better that we were going to be able to get Hattie's score fixed up.
So. And what that did for your athlete, Hattie, is that she jumped from way out of qualifying to ninth place in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, and the same for Grace, the same for Marjoram in Europe. Like none of them were qualifying, and then they were, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty stressful. I felt really, really bad when I had to call Hattie. You know, we had talked, she crushed it, waiting for the leaderboard to come out. Leaderboard comes out. I refresh the leaderboard, scroll down through the first page, don't see Hattie, scroll back up, still don't see Hattie, realize something's wrong, search her name, see the wrong score. And then I immediately called her like, hey, really sorry to ruin your night, but here's what you need to do.
T. Kane says, imagine the stress these athletes are feeling. CrossFit needs to have a better system. Hattie reached out to me after I talked to you, and she was beating herself up so much, saying like she checked her score three times. It was just a simple mistake. Mm-hmm. And I cannot imagine what the stress they go through. Their whole year depends on these qualifiers. And if they don't make it through to get to that live competition where you're truly assessed for your fitness, the year's a waste almost.
Yeah, I agree. I, as a coach, I fall pretty squarely in the camp with Coach Kotler on this whole thing. I don't think there's anything more important for the sport side of CrossFit right now than getting rid of the qualifying process to the second highest level of competition in our sport not taking place on the internet. I don't like every year we have some kind of an issue, like a bunch of elite athletes didn't put their score in correctly. They got it fixed. Some people say they should, some people say they shouldn't. It was a clerical error. Most of those athletes have a video proving that they did the reps, right? So like that's one issue. Now we have all these penalties that are coming down the pipe, right or wrong. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into more of that with like judges who have went out to help with camps, this, that, and the other, the stress of the video review, the human error of it. It's online setups, floor plans, measurements. It's just it's just ridiculous at this point. Like I understand creating a structure where there's some sort of a circuit or in-person competitions for points, whatever. I understand that's a lot of work, but I just think this is ridiculous at this point.
I think that'll be show two, like how to change the season to make this better.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of thoughts on that. I was actually talking with Justin's wife this morning, really? And we were solving all the world's problems.
Yeah. Ironically enough, my fiance and I, we drive to West Virginia every year. That's where she's from for either Thanksgiving or Christmas. And we were driving back this year. On our way back, overly caffeinated and many hours of the road in, and we just started coming up with this whole system for different comps, can get you different points based on the programming and the strength of field, and you have to get this many points, and you can still get points through quarterfinals, but it's like your last chance, and it's really heavily, it was just, we went on like a tear, and then it was hilarious because the next day we couldn't remember anything we came up with because we were just so tired.
And Chelsea, I see your comment. I do not know what's going on with Caitlin.
I don't know.
CrossFit is not disclosing anything. Nope. So it's really hard to track what's going on unless you know, and I do know her coach. I could reach out, but a lot of times coaches like to keep that private until they know a final resolution. Yep. So now we go through this penalty thing, right? And it's like nothing we have ever seen in CrossFit before. You know, usually you get the list of penalties. It's maybe 15 names long.
Yeah.
Either it's major, minor, or rejected. And then, but this time, like we talked, well over 300 scoring adjustments. It was so bad. Like I was trying to figure it out. And thank God for Mike Halpin and the known and knowable Instagram. I would not have been able to keep up. He's been running these reports about every 8 hours. And so you can track what's new, what's not. But some of the best movers in the sport are getting dinged major penalties.
Yeah.
You as a coach, does that put fear in you that that's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. The entire quarterfinals process of judging is so difficult. I think a good job of, you know, telling my athletes, because a lot of times I am also the person judging them for the quarterfinals, and I tell them I will no rep you, and I tell them I will no rep you because I don't want you to get a penalty from video review. And I kind of try to scare them straight, basically, in terms of you need to move perfectly. Like you have to keep your movement together as best you can. But even then, Patrick Vellner, one of the best movers in the sport, got hit with a major penalty. Like, I don't think he's ever had a video penalty before at all. You know, it is pretty stressful. I don't know. There's a lot of different thoughts that go into my mind and different things that I think play into the video penalties that we're seeing potentially. And we can dive into some of that stuff, I guess, once we get into the more nuanced side of it and why we think this might be happening. But it's quarterfinals is the worst. Like, I don't know how other coaches feel, you know, like, you know, last year you called me out the new kid on the block. I don't know a lot of the other coaches well. I'm not in with the, you know, the cliques yet or anything like that. But quarterfinals is the bane of my existence. It's the most stressful time of the year. I mean, semifinals is obviously stressful, but it's just this different thing. And with it being as long as it was this year, it was a week of just stress.
Well, you go into the weekend with a blind leaderboard. Does your athlete redo? Do they not redo? Is the score good enough? Is it not good enough? Then you come out of it and you've got this going on.
Yeah.
It's insane. So T. Kane says Paige Powers, top 10 at the games, doesn't get to compete because her head was looking down at the box. I think that's been misinterpreted a tiny, tiny bit.
Yeah.
From my understanding, it was not the head. It's the shoulders.
Yes.
You can be looking down as long as your shoulders were over top your hips,
which is, you know, difficult. I don't disagree with what he's getting at. And I'm sure you've heard, and I've heard step overs would have solved this. I don't disagree. I also don't disagree that I have seen videos from athletes who got penalized and they did not hold the standard that was in that scorecard. So
I have two thoughts about this. One, we've been begging for CrossFit to hold the standard forever.
Yep.
Now they are, and everybody's pissed.
I said the same thing. I was talking to Jacob this morning earlier, and you know, a large part of me agrees with that. We have been yelling at the sky how it's not a judged competition and this, that, and the other. And now they drop the hammer and nobody likes it.
Now, my counterpoint to that is the shoulder head area has never been a point of emphasis as something that's being judged even at a live competition.
Yep.
Right. So if you're going to make that change, then announce that that will be a point of emphasis, that that the extension must be knees, hips, shoulders.
Yes.
Must be shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this just comes back to the online qualifier. It's hard to judge, to pick movements that are easy to judge at maximal velocity in an online format. It's just difficult. You know, I think JR said it or somebody else about why we haven't seen shoulder to overhead. Very hard to judge at maximal velocity. It's kind of six one way, half a dozen the other. Like you said, I think stepovers would have been a much better movement. I think if they could have let people know about the head and shoulders, because that is, to me, also kind of an odd standard. You're loading the arms. The muscle action portion of the movement is not the thoracic spine. Like, as long as your hips, knees are extended and you're standing tall, why are you getting that much more metabolic work and work capacity out of that little bit of the movement? I don't think so. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do not debate this either, Jay Birch. Soft knees. I've seen videos, lots of soft knees.
Lots of soft knees.
Right. I think where people are upset is the shoulder aspect, because it has never been an emphasis before. Now it is.
Something I noticed watching a couple videos, a lot of people cornered the box. And depending on how big your feet are and how big the box you're using, you don't have as much real estate to plant that off foot. And I think while athletes were doing that as a way to move quicker, some athletes, that might have actually been part of the reason they didn't put the weight on that other foot and extend all the way, because they had most of their weight on that other foot and there was just a little less real estate than they might have been comfortable with when they were super fatigued to put all their weight on the other side of that, on that foot. Potentially. Because that was, the cornering was a whole thing for me and my athletes. Most of my athletes did not corner the boxes. I know that eventually it came out that that was okay, but the first thing I thought of was uncommon movement clause. I'm not playing with that. I'm not. The picture, she's flush. We're going to be flush. Like, I'm not doing that, right? So,
yeah. But here we are, when we talk about this, a lot of times the picture and the words don't match mm-hmm. in the standards, right? Yep. So, you know, it's really hard to know what to go by. And I was camped out with Jamie all weekend.
Yeah.
And we had that discussion, like, is it worth cornering? And I'm like, how much time you saving?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if they do say something, yeah, Chelsea, I just saw Nick Matthew was out in the latest run.
Yeah, I saw.
Crazy the number of games athletes that are out. So we have that. And the thing that's frustrating, and it goes back to what you said, the second most important qualifier to get to the games is online. If you have a judge in a live competition, they're going to tell you no rep. And you're going to correct it.
Mm-hmm.
Online, you don't get that feedback, so you don't know what's wrong, and then you get a major penalty.
Yeah. And that leads us to the other part of this that started to come to light is, you know, camps or individuals having people out there to judge them that are qualified, right? In whatever sense of the word we can actually say that is in the CrossFit space, because I don't think the judge's course actually qualifies you to enough to judge people. I can
speak to that a little bit.
Right, because you have experience judging, yeah?
So the AFJ
is a
group of people that I used to judge with.
Okay.
Who have organized, and they're the people that volunteer their time and go to all of these, like go to Rogue, go to Wodapalooza, go to all these events. They usually are the ones doing semifinals. And then they do some of the games. Mm-hmm. Now they don't usually get to go into the final heats of the elite individuals that is the red shirts.
Right.
But they do all of the other stuff. And I have contended for a long time, I think they're better judges than the red shirts.
Well, they might be judging more frequently.
And I would contend most of them are better than the red shirts.
Right.
Most of them. You get a couple one-offs that make a bad name for them. They just, their organization just got ruined.
Yeah. Why would you, right?
Why hire them if it's not going to guarantee you anything?
Yeah. Yeah. I just think this all alludes to the greater issue of it's not optimal. It's not best practice to have this qualifying competition be online. And I understand that there's constraints in the system. I understand that, you know, CrossFit has a small staff. I understand these things, but geez Louise, man. It's just, I mean, when you have athletes, every spectrum of athlete from a, you know, the AFJ judges, coaches who have been coaching in the space for a decade, the professional coaches at the highest level, all the way down to, you know, people who might be just trying to qualify for semifinals their first time, and they just had their buddy who's an L1 judge them. I venture to say most people are doing their best. They're attempting to hold the standard. Now, the degree in which they're being held to the standard could probably vary based on the person judging them. But when there's this many penalties across that range of people who have been judged by those types of judges, it just, where do we go from here? Who do you get to judge you? Right? Like, I try to be a very harsh judge with my athletes here at quarterfinals, but I always tell them I am not the final authority. Right? And it's obviously difficult for a coach because you're emotionally invested to some point, but it's also, I can't freeze frame in real time. I like to think I have a good coach's eye and a good judge's eye, but I'm human. I have human error, right? And if somebody can zoom in, slow down, and freeze the frame, I can't save you from that. Only you can save yourself. And we hope that, you know, the athlete has to hold the standard, but it's still just not optimal.
So Jay Birch says, that depends how many AFJ members were judging people with a major penalty. So where this comes into play, Jay Birch, is Hiller put out a video, and on that thumbnail, he has Paige and Brooke Wells, mm-hmm. Paige Powers. The AFJ judges are right behind them. I know both of those people. And I can tell you, they are some of the best judges in the business.
Yeah.
Both of those people got major penalties on that workout. If the major penalty was the shoulders and head area, we've never been trained that. I've never been trained to look for that in a competition. When you have your judges meeting and you go over the standards of movement and what you should be looking at, that's never a point of emphasis. So if you've changed that point of emphasis, it doesn't matter how good the judge you bring in is, they don't know what that point of emphasis is. Right?
Yeah.
Just this crew they hired to do video review.
Right.
So now we're not on the same page. Yes, Corey, I do know everybody. I don't. But I actually, they actually came out of my region during regionals. So I knew them before because they have both been promoted up through the judging ranks.
Okay.
So they're not even just like your regular ordinary judge now.
Yeah.
They're like leads and heads of judging at events. And yeah, when I got to know them in the regional world, they were just my peon level.
Yeah, it's such a weird, nuanced thing. Going back to what you said, you know, we want harder standards. We want people to get penalties, and then everybody gets penalties dropped on them, and they're massive penalties that are taking games athletes out of going to semifinals. And then it's, well, we had these professional judges. Why did that not do any good? So it's, I feel like it's, on one hand, yes, we want the video review to be thorough, but then the other hand is, well, I had this professional judge. What do you want from me?
So we already have a couple shows coming up now because we're going to do new season format. The other one I want to bring up is standardized rule book for the season. that if you're going to do a burpee box step up, this is the standard for the season.
Yeah.
Every other sport has that. The NFL has a kickoff rule. They have a penalty for this. They have a penalty. And if it changes, it goes to committee, and that committee has to vote that change is being made. And then everybody knows that rule is changed.
Right.
I think here we are. We're sitting where some people got the news that they want to emphasize something different and another group didn't. And that other group isn't just the AFJ. It's you as a coach. It's the athletes. That whole group didn't get word.
Yeah.
And that's a
problem. Yeah. It's kind of a mess. I feel bad, obviously, for all the athletes that are getting major penalties. I do feel like I'm glad there is such a thorough video review being done. I think I would say I could see more, I would give more empathy to the head and shoulders issue versus the standing up of the hips and knees at full extension, because that was in the standard, clearly demonstrated. I think Jake Chapman just said they're so used to getting away with skirting the lines for so long.
I don't think everybody, okay, I get it. We've wanted good standards, right? But for the most part, the athletes move well. You have a couple outliers that get focused on in different videos and YouTube channels and that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It goes back to the old adage. If you're in a class and 95% of the class fails, is it the students or is it the teacher? We have never, ever, ever had a competition weekend that had 300 plus scoring adjustments on one workout.
I bet we clear 700 by the weekend if they're going through 3 and 4. I bet we clear 700. Well, okay. The first thing, I think it's hard for coaches to no-rep their athletes in the quarterfinal stage on qualifiers. I think they don't want to have to do that. And you're right. Most of the athletes do move very well. So I think you can kind of create and also it's unideal for a coach to be judging their athlete, but a lot of times at the quarterfinal stage, because of manpower, that's what has to happen, right? Like there were many examples over the last week where, depending on who was going, I was not their judge, or I was their judge and I wasn't their kind of emotional support pace keeper person. I judge Jacob on several of his workouts. And when I'm judging Jacob, for 95% of that workout that I'm judging him, I'm not his cheerleader. I'm just trying to be as robotic as possible about rep. Like, did you stand up? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do whatever the movement is supposed to be? But it's very hard and it's not ideal, right? So I think there's a little bit of play there. I think it's a little grayer than just saying athletes skirt the standards all the time and now they're getting hammered and that is what it is. And I don't think, because he also said it's not 95% of the students. It's probably not 95% of the students, but it's also, they're not video reviewing everybody. So to your point about the school, right? It's, we can look back, I mean, ideally, when this is all done and see how many people got penalized of how many people got video reviewed. And then we'll know.
Yeah. If we ever know how many people got video reviewed, because that's probably a
closely guarded secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I don't even know where I want to go anymore.
Do you think, I'm curious what you think. Do you think they're going to look through three as hard as they're looking through one?
I'd steal my answer from JR. Where JR thinks that they're going to make sure that everything was measured properly.
Sure.
And then it'll get a quick cursory look over. And then they'll probably hit four as hard as they hit two. Or hit one.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm leaning toward they might go through three really hard because for the teams, they dug in those muscle ups on team event one. A lot of the penalties I know of for the teams were event one muscle ups.
I think because that's that one was the 15 minute cap, right?
Yeah.
I think that when you have a 15 minute cap, it's tough to get through as many videos as you need to.
See, and that's an interesting point because
workout one, you can fast forward through the rest.
Sure.
You can probably fast forward through the row.
Yeah.
And you're just really doing the snatch and the box step up.
So I guess this is a question I don't know the answer to, but it's something that I got curious about during team quarterfinals. Cause I had a team in the East. I had a team in the West. I was helping with two other teams in the West that are Ascend teams. And I also know a lot of people. So friends of mine would send me their videos and, hey, do you think this is good? This, that, and the other, you know, do you think the score will play? Stuff like that. If I was judging those videos, I only need to watch as long as it takes to get to a penalty threshold. I don't have to watch the whole video. I only have to watch the whole video if you don't mess up.
Yeah, because once it hits major penalty, it doesn't matter if it's a major penalty because it's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess I would have to watch through to see if you hit a minor penalty threshold. I would have to continue to watch through to see if you hit a major penalty threshold. So I guess but if there was a video that accrued a major penalty, I only need to watch until you hit that threshold. And then I'm done. Right? So I see both sides of that, but obviously the video review process is largely secretive.
And the other thing is on that muscle up workout, and you're only talking the top X number that even got to the muscle ups.
Fair. There was also, to be fair, a lot less teams, right?
Yeah.
And they were doing muscle ups from the jump. Right. First interval, we had muscle ups. Those muscle ups don't occur until the end. Outsource it T-Mobile. That's hilarious. What did TK now? Do you think there's hope for Paige and other athletes outside the top 40? Have you ever heard, how many appeals have you heard of being one?
Very, very, very few.
So I have, as a coach, filed two appeals, or assisted an athlete technically in filing two appeals, and I won one of them. And it was Madison last year on the GHD row VF workout. She does GHD sit-ups very fast, and she flicks her fingers down. So where the camera was set up to see her rower and her GHDs, you couldn't really see her fingers touch the plates at full speed. So I screenshot every single GHD sit-up showing her hands touching the bottom. And then I put it in Google Drive folders or in folders. And she sent that in with her appeal. And we won that appeal. To me, filing an appeal with CrossFit HQ is like going to court, except you are guilty until proven innocent. The way I think about it is you have to present beyond any refute that they were wrong and you did it right. And that's just a tall ask. So I don't know. I don't know how many of those athletes will win the appeals.
Yeah, I am not confident in that. Yeah.
Which sucks.
Right.
Which really sucks.
Because we've lost already probably four games athletes at this point.
Paige, Nick Matthew.
Sydney Wells. Brooks on that teetering edge. Well,
I mean, that's the thing with them going through three or four. Vellner, Bill Leahy, not a games athlete, but you know, relatively high profile. Everybody wants to see what he can do. If you got a penalty and you're down in 30th, if you get a minor, you're out on anything else. Because the separation value was so low in these workouts. Scores were so bottlenecked, especially four.
A couple in Europe too. Lazar Jukic took a pretty big hit.
Is he out?
He's not out at this time.
I knew he got a penalty, but I hadn't looked to see.
It was a major. He dropped like 27 spots. I've been following this all day. Here's Mike Halpin's Google Doc. As you can see, it was last run at noon today.
Okay.
And then if anything happened different from the 7:30 run, he put a new beside it.
Oh, Samantha Pugh. I didn't realize she was out.
Yeah. So everybody in red is out. Currently.
Jeez. Brooke Wells is still in.
Yeah, Paige Powers out. Zoe Warren out.
Yeah. Oh, Lena Richter's out? Dang.
But she was going team anyway.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Her and Matilde both got major penalties, but they're going team. There's Tia's penalty. Amy Kringle dropped, but she's still in.
Yeah. Hope Cicero, she's on the Masters leaderboard too.
Sarah Sigmund's daughter dropped five spots, but still in.
She's still in. Ashley Wansney's still in.
Yeah. A lot of the newer ones were minor penalties.
Yeah.
Like Kyra Milligan was Kyra. Cool. But didn't even change a place.
Interesting.
Cody Vetito, someone I followed last year in the semifinal series, didn't move a place.
She got a two-rep penalty, but didn't.
Scuds, the person in the picture showing what the movement standard is, got a minor penalty.
Oh, love that. I love that.
Yeah, you know, it's James Hobart got one too. So yeah,
arguably like the poster boy for CrossFit movements, right?
Right. And Allison Scud's the female poster girl.
Yeah. If the only thing would be better if Tola was doing indie and he got one too.
Oh man.
Yeah. Grace.
See here, Kaya.
Yeah. Gabe, there's Gabe Townsend. Yeah. Tiffany Rocker, Samantha Tolbert. Yikes. Yikes.
Yeah. And then with the men, there we go.
Poster man. He's old now. Fair enough, Wad Zombie. Poster man. Poster gentleman. How's that?
Casper got a bit major penalty. Gamma Mark, 76 places.
Gilmo Torres.
Dallin Pepper was one of the new ones. It was a minor. Didn't even change a place.
Yeah.
Riley Carpenter. Medeiros got a minor.
Henrik Kapilainen got one, but it didn't change him. That's Zachary Bunton.
Half, man. 913 spots he fell.
Something that can't be a movement thing.
That had to be made. It had
there's
to be
something wrong with the video.
Video.
Yeah, there's something wrong with
yeah, the there, video. There's James there's Hobart. James. Fell 588 spots.
I would be so curious if James would tell everybody what he got a penalty for. One more minor penalty for Brooke Wells and she's out. She's only a yes, correct. Well, and what's interesting about this too is, okay, so let's say you were 43rd. Now you're 39th. You better hope your video is squeaky clean. Because they're going to get down there. Right? Because they're going through. Cody Vetito was not in the top 40 before she got a penalty. So
I don't know who's having a more exciting afternoon. Whoop. Jay Birch had to go dissect some frogs.
There you go.
Games. Corey says game legends will be lined up next to some dude you've never heard of. Hey, maybe it's an opportunity for people to get some exposure.
Yeah. I mean,
I do not know what's happening with either of them. I'm a big fan of Freya. Been friends with her for a couple years. Really hoping she gets through. And no, I did not see Heppner's story.
I saw him destroy the wall ball burpee box jump over workout, though.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a very long and anxious weekend because they are supposed to be done Monday. But it can also go longer than that. So you need to pull it up. He makes a hell of a good point.
I like when Corey directs my show.
Is he your unknown producer?
Yeah. It'd be better if he was like somewhere near a computer and he could pull it up for me. Right. Okay.
I think there's been some penalties in the age groups as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on. I think those are on Halpin's as well. All right.
Let's see what we got here. Can't be
doing everybody doubted me.
This is riveting, Corey.
Corey, there was nothing there.
There's only two stories, Corey.
Stories, man.
Yeah. You don't know the whole story. Can't be that. It probably expired, Corey. Probably expired.
Is it a reel?
Oh, it's a reel.
An opinion from a guy on his baby's moon in the Bahamas. Here we go. Two thoughts. CrossFit controls the sport. They can do whatever they want. That's the thing you probably don't want to hear, right? They can do whatever they want. It's their sport. If you don't like it, is all you can do is really cry about it. I learned the hard way in 2018. It takes a lot, forearms. But here we are. Now, because they can do it doesn't mean they should do it. So my second thing is, what's the fix for it? If you're going to give that many penalties for something, then at a minimum, at least, you need to be looking at the highest penalty given by gender in each region. What does that mean? That means if you're going to give Paige Powers a 600 and some odd placement on event one, you need to be looking at all the 600 and some odd placements in front of her in her region. Because I guarantee you, I'll make a bet on this virgin pina colada that 200, 300 of them didn't even video the workout and didn't even do it correctly. And if Paige Powers did it wrong, then probably 400 of the rest of them did it wrong too. It's not fair to the other athletes. So if you're going to hold everyone to a standard, then hold everyone to the standard, the same standard. But what do I know? I'm just a mathematics guy who never competed a day in his life in CrossFit drinking a pina colada on the beach. All right, who's ready for some unsolicited...
Now I'm jealous.
Right.
So he makes a great point. But there's no way CrossFit's ever going to do that.
My answer to his point would be let less people do quarterfinals so you can judge everyone.
There you go.
That would be my answer. But me not being a fan of top 25% is not new news to anybody who knows me. So whatever.
That's and that ship has definitely sailed with the money that they made on this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's funny you brought up the different season, because Ashley Kotler and I were talking this morning that we had the perfect system. We had the sanctionals. CrossFit didn't even have to fund them. People were willing to line up and do it for them.
Yeah. I think it would be good to have a degree of oversight on the sanctionals. So in terms of the programming, at least to some degree. And that's why I think.
But why it was okay is you had 30 shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't like the programming at this one, you got 29 other opportunities.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I also, I mean, it would drive way more media. It would give people way more opportunity to compete. It would be great for developing athletes who, you know, are trying. They're kind of the, I guess, what now would be the 40 to 100, 120 range, depending on the semifinal. I don't know why that was tossed out as quickly as it was.
COVID.
Well, that's true. It was COVID.
Yeah.
The old Rona. It was
COVID, and we had to go backwards to get through COVID.
Yeah.
And then we just stuck with it.
Yeah. The sanctionals, I do think, were a good start to having a really cool circuit and system of competitions to qualify. And I still... Because did the sanctionals qualify you for the games or semis?
The games.
I would even be fine with the circuit only qualifying you for the semifinals. I would be fine with that. So that CrossFit still has a degree of control over the second highest and the highest stage of competition.
And I think that there were too many sanctionals anyway.
There was a ton.
So make a couple of them like they did this year. The semifinals, you know, West Coast Classic and Syndicate Crown, which Loudon Live and that crew that had the Mac, they were actually sanctionals back then. Make them the semifinals. And then so you work your way through the regular season and get to that postseason, just like the College Bowl series, right? Like, then you move to the New Year's Day six. Yeah. And then you move to the games.
Yep. Yeah, I would love to see something like that. I think it would be much better for the sport. And T. Kane brings up the, you know, injured athletes, giving them another shot to compete. But, I mean, the one that always sticks out to me is if you get sick. Like, if you get sick during quarterfinals or you get sick during semifinals. I mean, hell, in a sanctional season, at least if you got sick during semifinals, you had gotten to do other competitions prior, compete in person, get some swag, get some notoriety, go do that stuff, versus you get sick at semifinals and there goes your whole year. Poof.
Corey, they have not come back to regionals.
No.
Regionals, there were like, what, six in the United States, eight in the United States?
Yeah.
And only three or five made it?
Making a semifinal is exponentially harder than it was to make a regional. Anybody in the top 40 going to a semifinal, if we broke them down into their individual regionals of what the old system was, they would have walked into a regional. No problem.
Yep. And you took away the fan base because now the fan base has to travel. Back then, they could do an hour drive to a regional and cheer on their local favorite.
Yep.
And so we've kind of ruined what was great about the regionals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. I feel bad for all those coaches too. Cause as a coach, I know I would do anything to do what I could to try to fix a penalty and get an appeal through. And so that, you know, their season didn't end in this way. And it's just so stressful and there's only so much you can do. And it's just tough. Like, I feel a lot for the athletes and the coaches. Like I fall on both sides of it. I want to see the standards upheld. If you didn't hold the standards and you got hammered, hey, that's on you. If you did hold the standards and you can prove it in a video and you still got hammered, that freaking sucks, man.
Yeah. And again, because everything is kept cloak and dagger, we don't get to see these videos. We have no idea how egregious any of this was.
I said something to my fiance last night. Do you think it would be out of turn if they penalized a video, they then made that video public? You end up in a whole, you know, court of public appeal potential situation, but they are the governing body. They could do what they want. If they've already, the penalty is done and dusted and they deny the appeal, because everybody's going to appeal, right? Everybody who got a penalty is appealing for sure. So it wouldn't be till after the appeal. And if CrossFit is like, no, this penalty stands, then they release the video publicly. Do you think that's unfair, like leading into unfair scrutiny? Because part of me wants to see these videos so I can make a note like, all right, we got to really dot our T's and cross our I's with, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's. You know what I meant? With stuff like that. But then it's also, do you just bring in a lot of potential hate Cheeto finger people on the athletes?
I don't think I can come up with an answer to that in this short amount of time. But what I will say is, I think it's on CrossFit to have a press release that says, we're having an unprecedented amount of penalties mm-hmm. or scoring adjustments. Here are some of the reasons why.
Yeah.
Because right now everybody's speculating and they're making outlandish accusations and we don't know if any of that's true.
Yeah, we don't know anything. We don't know. Because, I mean, that's the first, an athlete gets a penalty. The first thing that happens is they go radio silent.
Right? Do you remember the year that people miscounted the crossovers? And then Boz went out on Instagram, did a video showing how to count. Mm-hmm. Right? If they did a press release with a video that said, this was the standard, and it was missed because this body position, and that way you're not even calling out an athlete. You're just saying, these are the reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like something like that. I would also personally like a real press conference when they do that. I want somebody up in front of a freaking podium or a whatever you call it. Like, whoever's in charge, come tell us what's going on. If Dana White can suck it up and do it, so can you.
Love or hate Justin Berg, when he was in charge,
that's true.
There were quarterly press conferences.
That is true.
Got to take part in those. We got to ask questions. They may have danced around an answer, but at least you got to ask the question.
Yeah.
Since Dave has taken back over, the only press conferences are at the games. Mm-hmm. And then they did have one at the West, North America West last year.
Oh, did they? I had no idea.
Yeah, Don Fall came in. Don and Dave did a press conference.
Gotcha.
Chelsea, I think that's what everybody wants to know. How egregious are the reps? We don't know. And what constitutes minor, major?
Mm.
Did soft knees get you the major? Did the shoulders get you a minor? Did
I can actually read that to you, I think. Hold on. I have the rule book open. Oh, it's in the appendix. Hold on.
Well, I know the major for so many reps that are in question.
But it's still even a little vague.
Right.
Which is kind of tough. Like, you would think they would make that stuff at least relatively clear in the rule book, right?
Yeah.
What does it say? Penalties. I think it says like a minor penalty will be assessed if it's below some threshold, and then a major penalty is 15%. But even the minor penalty, I know it's like the way they calculate it is like the rep speed times two.
It used to be, it was like if it was five or less questionable mm-hmm. reps, it was a minor.
Right.
If it was up to like 20 reps, it was a major. And then beyond that was rejected.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, we haven't seen anything close to a rejected video in a long time, but we're seeing at least things that look similar.
900 spots.
Yeah.
Something exactly. got rejected.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not the only one too. I'm sure there's some other people who have fallen really, really far.
Well, Hobart fell 500 spots.
Yeah. So that has to be, if it's not a rejected video, they're taking away all the reps of a movement.
Right.
Would be the only way I think you could have that kind of a fall off points wise or score wise on a workout like the intervals. Like if you did no step ups, like if they counted none of your step ups or none of your row calories for some reason.
Yeah. Cause majors are supposed to be a percentage, right?
Right. Yeah. It's 15%.
Yeah. I don't be nice to know what their thinking was on this in some shape or form. Like, this is what a major was. This is why we did it. Here's a demo. That way you're not calling out the athlete, but you're showing the example of what was done and what wasn't done.
Yeah, that would probably be a much better way to do it than put out the video publicly. I think I'm just so curious to see, you know, because I'll put a video of my athlete going and a video of somebody who got penalized and look, try to see what the difference is between the two.
Well, I'm all for like public submission of videos.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I like just the penalized being released.
I agree with that. Yeah. A little bit unfair to those athletes.
Yeah. I think if at the beginning you say you have to make all of your videos public on YouTube, I'm okay with that across the board. If you're a good mover, you should not even worry about that.
Hiller would have so much content.
Yep. Well, and hopefully the standard would improve.
That would be the hope, right? That would be the goal. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's wild times.
We are up on the hour. So this is the first episode of hopefully many.
Yeah, this was fun.
Kind of getting a coach's perspective on what's going on. And who better than Coach Krispy Kreme himself?
I've got to get another shirt. So mad I lost that shirt.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I'm just glad I was able to make a thumbnail that I could steal the logo.
Yeah, for sure, right? Yeah.
Replace donut with Ascend Athlete.
Yeah, like the A. That would be good. Could do that.
Wait, at the bottom in the greens part where it says donut?
Uh-huh. Does it say Ascend?
It says Ascend.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. No way.
Yeah. On the thumbnail.
Heck yeah. Oh yeah, it does. That's awesome. That's sick. Yeah, this was fun. I would like to do this more.
All right.
Fun.
Well, sounds good. And we will say, hey, everybody in the chat, you've been awesome.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
So much feedback. It makes the show go by really fast. You guys are always the best. With that, we'll see everybody next time on Chopping It Up with Coach Krispy Kreme. Here we go. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best-tasting, and highest-quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.